to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 21st, 2023, the Sunday after Ascension, by Father John Muhlendike.
So what's this week? What are we celebrating? Ascension, you sure? For those who didn't get it.
Well, I've been waiting all morning for that.
Where are you looking? All looking up. Aren't you looking at each other? Isn't that what Ascension's about? You're all looking up. I did that so Father Eric would have to get it down this week. So there's a hidden message here. That's good. All right. You're right. Today we're celebrating Ascension, but we're doing it on Sunday. What day of the week does Ascension come on?
Thursday.
How did you know that? You read it. The 8 o'clock group had a little trouble with that this morning. They're a little older, but they had a trouble. They finally figured it out. 40 days after Easter, and then 10 days before Pentecost, it would have to come on a Thursday. Oh, we'll remember that. It'll be Thursday from now on. But we probably won't be celebrating it on Thursday. For years, all the churches celebrated Ascension Day. They got together, and it was a big deal. And I remember years ago when we took balloons and we polluted the sky with them and they blew all over because it was Ascension Day. What it meant, I was never sure of, except it was a nice balloon day. So we've moved away from that, and that's because, you know what happened with the attendance on Ascension Day? Attendance kind of like went this, and it got less, and it got less in all the churches. And finally, the priests and the pastors got together and said, why are we doing this? Nobody's showing up. So then they thought, well, we'll do it on a Sunday close to that Thursday, and then we can celebrate Ascension. So, of course, this year, the gospel reading comes from John, and it's hard to pick out Ascension in that. The Father and I are one, and John is a very mystical book. And actually, the story for today, the gospel reading really is the first reading, which is in Acts, about the Ascension. And so it's all kind of like mixed up, but it's there. And so we want to walk through that a little bit today. What is Ascension about? Ascension kind of like means going up, but to the disciples, it may not have meant a happy day. Jesus had died, was crucified, buried. They were despondent. They cried, they weep, they didn't know what was going on. And then 3 days later, they hear words of, oh, he's up, he's resurrected. And then suddenly Jesus starts to appear, and he appears again and again, and they are ecstatic. They are happy. It's like somebody had died, like you know, and suddenly they come back to life and they're there for you again. Are you not happy? They are, and they're clinging onto him as much as they can because they don't want to see him go. The only thing yet that they're clinging on to also is their expectation that Jesus is going to establish a new kingdom. He didn't do it the first time, but now he's here and they're sure he's going to do it. He's going to take the Romans out, he's going to distribute the wealth, and everything is going to be wonderful. The new kingdom is coming. And so they're all, you know, just hopping around and happy. And then the Ascension occurs. For Jesus, I'm sure he was happy. He probably was there, kicked off his sandals and said, hey, I'm going up into the cloud. And he was having a good time. But to those who were left on the ground, just like you, you're looking up. He's gone. Now what? Is he coming back? I don't know. Do you see him? I don't see him. He's gone. What does that mean? Oh no, what's going to happen to us? Where's the new kingdom? He's supposed to gather people together. He's supposed to gather an army together. What's happening? And so they go into despondent despair, into sorrow. So the ascension, although we celebrate it happily, is really for the disciples and his followers a day of dejection. It won't be until Pentecost comes that they see what's really transpiring. So it's a down and then an up and then a down and an up. Have you ever had that in life where you felt down and then up and then down and then up? It's kind of like what life is, isn't it? That's every time that occurs to you, that's ascension, going down, and Pentecost, which is going up. So it's down and up and down and up. And we need to make some connections with that. They wanted to know when Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what that meant. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. New job, new work, new territory. Huh, you? No, Jesus, you were to do it. And Jesus is saying, no, you are going to do it. So what? We're not prepared. We can't organize an army. We don't have the funds to do that. We don't know the back roads to Samaria and Judea. How are we going to do this? And Jesus said, I'm going to give you the power to be my witnesses to something else. So the disciples and the followers are just shocked. What is this about? It's a whole different way of looking at the world. Disciples didn't understand because they were caught in clinging onto their old concepts of what Jesus has done. But Jesus is evaporated. He's gone. He's up. He's doing his thing. Jesus needed the break from an unhealthy dependency that the disciples had in clinging to him. Jesus knew that they needed to experience something more than what they had experienced. Jesus kept preaching about spreading God's love, but they didn't get the fact that they had to do it. It's like you and I. We kind of expect Jesus to kind of like do things for us all the time. But Jesus is saying, Christ is saying, you are my followers. You're going to be the ones that do it. And then we're saying, oh no, not us. And he says, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the power to speak in the right time, in the right places. But that doesn't come by demanding that of Jesus. He doesn't do it. Say, having you say, you know, give me the power, it's all right. And I'm sure the disciples could have done that, but that's not the way this transpired. There's an ascension, and then there's a Pentecost. And the Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes. And to tell you the truth, if Father Eric is listening today, he's going to get that part next week assigned to him. So you get part two of the story next week. I'm giving you part one of the story this week. Ascension is this down, and then there's this waiting period. It's waiting. Waiting, not knowing. Here they've lost the best friend. He's gone. And here they are. What does this power mean? And I don't know. He's just gone. He's gone. And so they go up to the upper room, and they say, what are we going to do? I don't know. They start to talk, blaming each other, you know, sarcastically, and then feeling sad, and then finally they start to pray. And so they pray, and they do a prayer, and they do a little more, and then they do a little more, and a little more, and then a little more. And after doing petition prayers of, Jesus, please come back. Jesus, please don't forget us. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You can see it after about 3 days. Din is going down. It's become more and more silent. Day four, day five, they continue to pray. Day six, day seven, day eight. Nobody's talking anymore, but they're praying. It's called contemplative prayer. It's when they simply sit there, think about nothing because everything's done, have said everything, and suddenly all there is presence with God. There's nothing left. There's nothing left to say. And that's the point of today's lesson. The time between ascension and Pentecost is a time where there's nothing left to say. You burn out in a way. You simply become one with God and you become open. This is a time of opening. We don't like that. We like to fill our lives full of things. It's like a pot in the kitchen. It's like you want to put something in because you're going to get it cooking, but the problem is the top is on the pot. Unless you remove the top of the pot, you can't get anything in. So Jesus was working with their hearts to remove the top of the pot, which is all their thoughts and all their worries and everything else that they had, so that they were just totally empty to receive. And once they were empty, they could receive the Holy Spirit. So ascension is really about going into that time of waiting, about opening ourselves to receive. Ascension and Pentecost occur in all of our lives, all the time. It's like death and resurrection around Easter. Ascension is that other, not going up like we just did, but it's like coming down, figuring out where you're going, not knowing where you're going, and then just open yourself to God and let God do whatever God wants to do. Many times in our prayers, we do petition prayers, and the church does that, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it sometimes gets a way to manipulate God. Oh, God, please make this person good. Please, God, help me out of this situation. Please, God, give me money. And those prayers are about whom? Yourself. That's not the way God works in prayer. God works by saying, I'm here. I'm only going to create good for you. That's all I'm going to do. It may not turn out the way you want, but it is good. I see the bigger picture. We don't want to do that. We want little things that we want. So this opening up, this time between ascension and Pentecost, is a time of opening up and being open to anything that God sends you. That's a tough way to live because you're really having to trust God the whole way. So that's what the disciples were doing. They were learning to trust. And as soon as they got to the point of just saying, God, I don't know what's happening, I simply trust you, then the Holy Spirit comes. And part two, where that comes, is next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.